All righty, we're gonna get started. It is 9:06, so I wanna make sure that we have a lot of time to not only tell you what we wanna tell you today, but also to chat with you a little bit towards the end. So good morning. Thank you for waking up bright and early for this first session of the day. Hope you all had a phenomenal day yesterday. What an amazing amount of energy and passion and great info, and I hope you guys are all enjoying the conference so far. So welcome. This is the update on InfoPath and SharePoint Forms session. I'm Sonia Koptiev. I'm a marketing manager in the Office 365 team.
I'm Greg Lindhorst. I'm a program manager in the Access and InfoPath team.
And I'm Bob Piper, and I'm also PM on the Access team.
So welcome. So we have a quote here that I think is really appropriate, especially for this topic. The world hates change, but it's the only thing that's really brought progress. We have had a really emotional time with this, and we spent a lot of time thinking about it, as we know you guys are all really passionate about this product and this space and what it brings to the user interaction and IW space. And so we think, though, that change is good, and we'll all progress together. So our agenda for today is we're going to talk through this thing and this concept that you should have heard resonating yesterday through the keynote and throughout the DevTrack keynote about contextual process apps and what that really means for this space and for us moving forward. So we'll touch on that. We're going to go through a technical product roadmap with you and think about some of the scenarios as they've appeared inside the InfoPath space in the past and where we see some of those scenarios landing in the future. We're going to talk about our concept of continuous improvement and what that means to us, what that means to Forms vNext, and what that means to our continuing conversation with you and your input into this space. We're going to touch on our Forms partners, all of whom are here today, and just give you a bit of a pointer to where they are and who they are. And then we are going to have Q&A, but especially for this session, we wanted to have a little bit of an extended Q&A. So I think we're going to leave a good solid half an hour at the end rather than the standard 15 minutes. And it's really to open up the conversation with you, get some initial feedback, and start talking. And then we'll cover at the end the calls to action, what we would love for you to go do when you leave the session. So our world is connected, right? We spend more time on our phones and our tablets than we do at our desks. We're always on the move. We are always interacting with different people, and it's a matter of how quickly you can get to the information you need and start the processes that you need to get started and also follow up on them, right? As you saw in the demos that we showed you yesterday, it's all around how to enable users on the various endpoints where they naturally live today rather than a siloed experience that ties them to the desktop or ties them to a particular location. And so our belief is that our process and our business processes should also be connected and ubiquitous wherever our users live. And so back to this contextual process apps experience that we showed you and talked about yesterday, the business processes are evolving, the people and how they interact with these business processes is evolving. And so people expect an integrated world. They expect their data, their devices, their processes everywhere and anywhere that they need to access them, right? We're breaking down these barriers where you need to be sitting at your desktop in front of a full screen to do anything, right? You need to be able to access everything where it's convenient to get access to it. And so awareness is really important, where you get awareness to the data that's relevant to you when it's relevant to you, right, without having to sift through massive amounts of data to get to what's relevant. Another key component is capture and output, right? So how do you get the data into the format and into a form or into a process, as well as how do you get it moving through that process? Another piece that we're really concerned about is the analysis, right? So it's not just getting the data into this monolithic form and having it sit somewhere in a server, but how do you get value out of that data? How do you get people to interact with it appropriately and also take telemetry out of that process and out of that data to understand what your users are doing. Obviously, collaboration. It's the SharePoint conference. We're really on top of the collaboration piece, and we want to make sure that every user has the ability to interact and collaborate on the bits and pieces that are really relevant to them. And then finally, business process management. So all up, how do you manage the steps of the activity? How do you make it fluid and versatile and flexible so that it caters to where users are and what they find important?
So can you talk about expectations a little bit on this talk and what we're doing it ahead? InfoPath was an amazing product. It did all kinds of amazing things. We used it for lots of different scenarios. It was unique in many ways. It was focused around XML and moving data in that manner. I'll tell you here, right here now, we don't have a full replacement that I'm going to roll out to you during this talk. It is not ready yet. We're going to start a journey instead with you guys. And so what we'll be doing today is talking about the requirements that we see in this space, some sketches of how we think we will address those scenarios and those requirements, and then we're going to be needing your input on getting this right. And not focus so much on replacing InfoPath. It was designed over 10 years ago. It was a great product for its age, but things have changed. Mobile is dominant now. There's other things around the business processes that Sonia just described that require a fresh approach. It requires us to look at it in a different way. So we'll be looking for your input on what are the problems that people are facing today, and how do we need to address those moving forward. Now, not to worry, we are going to be showing you some cool things in this demo. You all don't need to exit now. Just hang out. We'll show you a few cool things along the way. But lower your expectations on us presenting a full replacement that sings and dances and does everything you expect.
But we are going to show you something.
It's going to be cool.
If we don't know what we're doing exactly, why are we telling you now? It's a good question, right? This isn't Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't do this. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We need your help. We're doing this now because none of us wanted to face another SharePoint conference like the last one, where there were no InfoPath sessions and nobody knew what was going on, and we kind of vaguely redirected people to access. We didn't want to do that again. We'd rather be much more transparent about all this. Now, when I got involved with InfoPath about a year ago, honestly, we didn't know what we were going to be doing. We didn't know what the right answer was. And we spent all of last year working with the marketing teams, working with customers, trying to understand this space and determine what was the right course of action with InfoPath. And when the time was right, we announced that at the end of January with the blog post. So it's about giving transparency to you and allowing you to plan accordingly. We have announced now that InfoPath, the current version 2013, is the last version.
On the desktop.
On the desktop and on the server. But with that comes a promise of support through 2023. So it's not like it's going away tomorrow. If you have solutions that run InfoPath today, they didn't stop working all of a sudden. They keep working, and they will keep working on-prem for the full 10-year support cycle that every Microsoft Office product enjoys. So there's no need to panic. This is about letting you know now so that you can help us with fashioning what that replacement will look like. Now, on the service, in our blog post, we were pretty vague about until further notice it's going to be supported. We can tell you now it will be at least supported through the next major release of Office when it comes out, which Jeff Teper announced yesterday is the end of 2015. It'll probably be a delta on top of that as well, probably on the 3 to 6 month range. But we haven't worked out exact timing on that. So that also is not going away immediately either. And some of the stuff we'll show you today will be in place before that occurs.
And you will have full notice before anything is turned off in the service. Plenty of notice.
And again, another plug. There'll be many, many plugs for this during this talk. We need your input. We need your help to find the right solutions to fill this space. So with that, I'm going to talk through some elements of what we see as our roadmap. And I'm going to start with Excel forms or Excel surveys. How many people have seen Excel surveys? Yeah, small number. I am astounded. Yesterday, I don't know, probably showed it 3 or 4 times, and people were like, what? What is that? I've never seen that before. When's that ship? It's like, well, it's already shipped. It's already available to you. So we're going to go through a little demo of that and explain to you how it works and what it's good for, and hopefully you can take advantage of it today. Then we're going to show you something new,
something completely different. We're going to show you forms on top of SharePoint lists. This is new functionality that we've been in development for the last few months. We'll be showing you on a private build. This is not shipping today, but we do intend to ship mid to late this year, and we'll start this constant improvement process based on that happening. Then we'll talk about structured documents. These are the fillable Word forms or fillable PDF forms, which was one of the roles that InfoPath filled in the past, and how we see that moving forward. And then finally, we'll talk about app forms. The top three are more about a single form that works on a single set of data, a single table, maybe repeating sections. The bottom one, an app form, something you would build in Access, is more about a full application. We have multiple forms that interact with one another. You have relational data that is interconnected and needs to remain consistent. And that's where the notion of Access being a place where you can build these kind of apps today came from. And that also is shipping today with improvements on the road ahead. So with that, I'm going to do just a quick demo of Excel surveys.
Which one do you need?
Do three. So I'm in a SharePoint Office 365 tenant here, public tenant, and I'm going to create a new document. Now you notice on this list there's Excel workbooks and Word documents and things like that. At the bottom there's Excel survey. I click that and give it a name. And this will create me an Excel workbook and then put me into a form editor where I can edit a form for collecting information. And I can type in here some basic information. On the question, it gives me different choices and properties, essentially, for how that question should be communicated. And there's different options for what kind of collection of information you want. Do you want a text, just a single line of text? Do you want a paragraph of text? Choice fields where you can say what the choices are that you want to enable, et cetera. And you can add additional questions. Let's change that one. That's fine. When I'm done, I can save. And you can see here's the form, the survey, as it will be presented to the user. And they can pull down the, pick out the different choices they want. They can type in the short text, et cetera. And what that did is it added columns to the Excel spreadsheet for the information I'm going to collect. For each question, it puts a column there, and then it builds an Excel table, and as results come in, they start populating the rows of that table. So if I go to the survey, I share it, it gives me a URL, which I didn't collect. Says thanks. If I go back to the spreadsheet and refresh, oops, sorry, wrong one.
Yeah.
Too many demos I'm trying to keep track of. Never mind. Let's go back. Now I'm really lost. There it is. So that's the information I put into the form, and it got populated into that row of information. So let me go to a different one. Oh, my compadres are getting started on top of me. So I created a simple survey where if you were in the exhibit hall yesterday, you saw the funeral procession for InfoPath. And you noticed that they were singing, "Bring out your dad," chant from the Holy Grail. And so it just got me in a holy Monty Python mood. And so I created a survey to try to answer these age-old questions about how fast an unladen swallow can fly and whether African or European swallows are indeed more capable of carrying a coconut. So it's important information to collect. Now, in the audience, I've got a bunch of Microsoft people who I've sent the URL to this form. If you guys could go ahead and enter your survey and submit. Because co-authoring is supported on the server, as people start submitting information, it just starts populating into the spreadsheet. And you can see the live results just get put in. It's that simple. So this is our extremely simple way to put out a survey, to distribute it to people, have them enter the information, and collect it into an Excel workbook. And as you might expect, it's, you know, whoa. I don't know what that's about. Well, this is going to mess up my chart a little bit. So. All right. Well, I wanted to let you guys try it as well. If you could, if you have a device, a phone, one of the nice things about this is it's basic HTML in a 1D format. If you want to pull out your phone and enter this URL, your tablet, your laptop, whatever you got, and answer my questions. We'll take a survey here. I have the answer for how fast an unladen swallow can fly, which I will reveal later in the presentation. Now, I should say, I told the Excel team I was going to do this with 1,000 plus people. And I, from across campus, I could see their eyes bug out. Like, really? No, don't do that. And don't try this at home. This survey on Office 365 or on OneDrive would be throttled so that only 100 people could interact with it at a time. Because it really wasn't designed for this particular scenario. But being the Excel team, they're like, we can overcome that. And they set up some VMs in Azure, the beefiest ones they could find, to enable this scenario, to enable as many of you as possible to enter your information. All right, I'm going to switch back to the workbook. I'm kind of curious to see how many we got here. Oh, they're streaming in. Oh, interesting. Okay. You guys think, oh, wow. Okay. You keep entering your information. We're up to 200. Keep going, and we'll look at the results a little bit later. All right. That. Let's switch back yet. That is Excel surveys. The reason I call it, I have FOSS on this slide, is it's also the code name we used internally when we were developing it was forms on top of spreadsheets, hence the FOSS. We're now going to show you a different technology, really the same technology in a different guise, in a different place. And because we're so original, we use the term FOSSL for forms on top of SharePoint lists. And so for this demo, I'm going to have Bob give us a presentation of how these forms work.
Four.
All right.
Which?
Are you on?
Which?
Number four. All right, mic's on. Great. Well, my demo doesn't involve any highly caffeinated swallows, but I'm really excited to show you forms over SharePoint lists. Now, these are just going to be, I'm showing you the first baby steps in our new direction that we're taking. As a matter of fact, we're running on a VM here, a Hyper-V, excuse me, on this machine right here. This is in a branch, and it's on this machine, but nobody has seen this, so... That includes our management. So we're really hoping everything's going to go perfectly. All right, so here we are looking at a SharePoint list. And I'm tracking a celebration dinner that we're going to have when we get back to Seattle. We're all going to celebrate how smoothly all of our demos went. So if any of you have used a SharePoint list, the default experience when you want to add or edit a record on your SharePoint list, I'll just go ahead and do that. I'm going to click Add New Item. So what you get is a modal experience. And modal is a technical term for really annoying. because what happens is I can't do anything else except for finish this scenario, finish adding or editing this record, before I can go back to the list and look at other records, edit other records, and so forth. So I won't bore you with my typos. Instead, I'll go back to the list. So you can see here, when you create a SharePoint list, you get the default all items view, it's called. But let's say I wanted to create my own view on top of this SharePoint list. I'm going to go up to the top of the page here and click on the list in the upper left, and that opens the ribbon. Over here on the right, you can see a new customized form button. And as Greg and Sonia called out, this customized form button here will remain there for a while. These two things will be running in parallel. But this demo is about the new functionality. So what's going to happen when I click this button is that the Access Forms package underneath is going to take this SharePoint list and look at all the columns, and it's going to create a control for each of those columns on my new form. So here we go. Hey, it worked. Great. All right, so here you see. Hey, all right. I paid the people in front to start clapping. Thank you. I'll pay you later. So here we are on the form, and this is the design surface of the form. This is not how an end user would interact with entering data. This is simply designing the form. And you noticed it was actually quite fast, the creation process. And that's because we didn't have to wait for any kind of a client to open. We didn't have to wait for InfoPath or for Access. Instead, the design experience is all hosted right there on the site. So here we are looking at our form. On the left side, this is going to be a list of the records, and this will make more sense when you see the list with the data in it. On the right here, you see the action bar. So this will enable me to create, read, update, and delete the records in that list right from the form. And then you see the controls here. These are, each control represents one of the columns in the list. And you can see that we've transmogrified the yes-no column into a checkbox, for example. And I can also move controls around. And you can see that as I move the control, the other controls on the form move. I can also make the view larger or smaller, depending on where I drop the control. And when I drop the control, it snaps into place on the underlying grid, so I don't have to spend time trying to line everything up perfectly. In addition to moving controls around, I can also resize. Because I'm going to need lots of notes on our dinner party to make sure everything goes smoothly. All right, so now I've customized my form, and I'm going to save it. All right, so now you can see we're back on the SharePoint list. And in addition to the All Items view in that little navigation bar, we also have a List Details view. You might choose to make the List Details view the default view. So maybe you want all of your users, when they come visit this SharePoint list, to see the List Details view right when they first view it. In this case, though, I'm just going to show it to you in the runtime as if I was adding or editing an item. All right, great. So here is our new form. This is in the runtime. And down the left side, you can see a list of the different records. I'm able to click through the records. And on the right side, you can see the details for each record appearing as I navigate through. So this is not a modal experience. I can move around between all these records and make edits or even add a new record. So I'm going to edit one. I think Gary's favorite food is, in fact, popcorn. So I'll save that record. We're here, we are still on the form. I can even add a new record. I think I'm going to invite our keynote speaker and see if he wants to join us for dinner. I'm sure that'll make for very interesting dinner party conversation. I think he likes grits, I've heard. All right, so I'll save this record. And now I'm going to go back to that SharePoint list. And you can see that now Gary's favorite food shows as popcorn. And we've added our new dinner guest here at the bottom of the list. And so this is just the beginning. There's a lot more to come. But that's all we have for today. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Just to recap what we just saw, that's all running in SharePoint. It's all on top of a SharePoint list. So there's no SQL, there's no Access backends, there's nothing like that. It is a form running on top of a SharePoint list, which is quite similar to a form running on top of an Excel workbook, which is what we showed you in the last demo. So if you're catching a theme, we're taking this forms technology that we introduced initially in Access and are adopting it to other situations and other places where we can take advantage of it.
And it's also to fall back to the whole contextual apps experience, which we're going to keep going back to. You never leave SharePoint. You never leave the window. You never have to switch back and forth between things. You don't have to publish anything. It's all very much contextual, where you are, right there.
All right. So, talk about continuous improvement. This is going to be a release we're going to do in the summer. It probably will not be much more advanced or functional. It won't do more than what you're seeing here. It'll be a basic form where you can customize, move things around, resize, get a list details view so it's not as modal and annoying, and that'll be probably about all. And then from there, we're going to build. So that first thing 3 to 6 months from now is going to be the auto format, the list in the schema like we showed you, where it automatically put things in a two-dimensional array for you. Lookups between lists will work. Cascading combos, SharePoint list workflows. We didn't show this, but that's just a list. So if you have a workflow associated with the list, that'll work just like it normally would. This is just a different way of interacting with the list items. And we're making this stuff as easy and functional for information workers as we possibly can. We are really trying to lower the bar for somebody able to be able to create one of these forms and distribute it to other people. Both you saw that in Excel and in here. We're just trying to make it as simple as possible for anybody to take advantage of this technology. And of course, we need your input on the right things to put into this bucket, the most important things we should deliver first. Then at about the year time frame, end of this year, beginning of next, we'll add some more functionality. We know that rules and some level of business logic that's really simple to express is something that was very powerful and useful for InfoPath users. We know that you're going to want that. So we'll come up with some ways of doing that. We'll give some previews of our ideas and get your feedback on it and try to deliver that 6 months-ish after we do this initial release. And there's a bunch of other things. Hide show of sections we know is very popular. Mobile, touch-friendly. What we're showing here isn't particularly mobile or touch-friendly. It's meant for the browser, but that's another area where we're spending a lot of resources. You heard that in the keynotes yesterday. You heard it through a bunch of talks throughout this. That we're spending a lot of energy and time and money on doing a great mobile experience. Personal profile information is another big piece of what people used InfoPath for, or they found very useful on the InfoPath forms that were connected to a SharePoint list, and then connecting to Office 365 objects. And again, your input. And then later, we have just a sketch of other stuff that we think we need to be doing that's most important. We don't know where this falls. We'll work with you to figure out what the right order is to go after these things and what things are on this list that need to be. So that's a different way for us to interact with you and to build this product out. We're going to start simple. We're going to take baby steps, and then we're going to walk. And we're just going to keep adding functionality that's most important, that impacts the most users, and enables them to do the most with the product.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but this is really exciting stuff, right? I think this is one of the very first and few times that we've actually shown you what our intentions are, but also began the conversation, right? This needs to be an iterative process. We need your input if you can't tell, right? So we'll give you links and calls to action at the end, but keep this in mind. We're looking to have a conversation. We're looking to get your input, and we're looking to make this very iterative process, right? So engage, please.
Now let me switch gears a little bit and talk about structured documents, which is kind of like not like the others. Everything I've shown you so far has been about a form on top of some kind of relational-esque store, on top of a row in a spreadsheet or on top of a SharePoint list. But a structured document is fundamentally a different thing. So let me show you what I'm talking about. First off, we're up to over 550 items here, and there's some big ones. There was a plus 99 up here a minute ago I saw. Yeah, I don't think they go that fast. Plus 97. No. This is Microsoft's medical claim form. This we've been using, I think, since I've been at the company, which is like 20 years. This form is a Word document that is a fillable form. There are fields in here where I can type in information, and it puts it into specific places in the Word document. This is based on content controls, technology that's been in Word for quite some time, 2003, 2007-esque time frame. Behind it, you can set up an XML schema that this stuff gets populated into, which makes it easy to shred out after you've got the document in place, after it's been submitted somewhere. There's some aspects of this kind of form which differs from the forms we were showing you a minute ago. First off, it's very high fidelity. It's meant to look like a piece of paper. It's meant for somebody, in this situation, an insurance company, to communicate to a customer and say, imagine you were filling out this form on paper. This is how it would look. It also is printable, so I can print this thing and fill it out by hand if I want, or even after I've filled out the information, I can print it out. It's not about just filling information. It's about being able to present the information back again. It's got an archival quality to it. You take that PDF, you take this Word document after it's been filled out. From a legal perspective, you can archive that document, and it's a legal document. Toward that end, it has a place at the bottom for capturing signatures. We announced our arrangement with DocuSign. To work with Word to do electronic signatures. That kind of stuff fills into this kind of a form more naturally, where you're filling information out, you're signing it, and you need to archive and retain this document as a signed document. It's also more appropriate for distributing out, for offline use, out in the wild, where I can mail you a PDF for you to fill in, you fill it in, you mail it back. It's not the best arrangement. It's usually better to submit it to a document library, but it's a way that it can be used to work. So we struggled. Like, this is one of the things InfoPath did. InfoPath did the stuff we've shown you already in terms of a form on top of a SharePoint list, but it also did this kind of thing. And we wrestled, like, what is the right answer for us moving forward? And we're still wrestling with it a bit. We have talked to the Word team. The Word team has committed to doing some stuff in this area, but they're not sure exactly what. They're very busy with some other work right now. But they have committed to, by the end of the year, to give us a roadmap, a plan for how they want to address this need, how they want to do structured documents. So for the moment, this space, we don't have a lot to talk about. At the end of the year, we hope to have more to talk about.
And again, this is one of the things where when we give you the link to the user voice site, this is definitely something else that you can provide input on the relevant scenarios that you see in your businesses and with your customers that would leverage this type of scenario and how you foresee it moving forward in the future.
One area we do know that's important is the interaction between these kinds of forms and back-end systems. One of the great things about InfoPath is it generated this XML document that was very easy for a developer to shred out the information they needed and to put it in a relational store for analysis, to put it into Excel to do charting on. That's very important. We understand that. And so that's definitely on the roadmap for the kind of back-end, the kind of servicing a developer should be able to do with this kind of form. And then finally, app forms. Switch me back. So this is an Access application. It's made of many forms that interrelate and interconnect. It's made of relational tables. Instead of being based on a SharePoint list, or a single table in an Excel spreadsheet, it's based on relational tables. There's one-to-many relationships between orders and order details, customers and employees. All those kinds of relationships that are important in business processes are representable here. And we store this information in SQL Azure in a full relational database, which is great because it ensures consistency within the data itself. SharePoint lists are great, but they're not transactional. If we start modifying one list and we start trying to change a different list and there's problems along the way, there's no way to roll all of it back as one. And you can get to inconsistent states. SQL prevents us from having that problem. Anytime we make modifications in this world, it's ensured that it's a full transaction so that there's no inconsistencies that can creep into the system. It's something that has to be repaired. So in terms of forms, you may notice that this form looks very similar to the form that Bob was interacting with. It has a list and a detail section. On the left-hand side, there's a set of tables. These are the different tables that I interact with in this application. But this part over here looks very similar to what Bob was showing. That is the Access technology, the forms technology that we're using both for all three, for Excel surveys, for Fossil, and for Access. And it's this technology that we're investing in moving forward and ensuring that it's mobile and touch friendly and is the kind of forms that you need in the kind of business applications you want to build. Just like Bob was showing, it has the ability to show the detail section at the top with the different controls you would expect. It also has a concept of one-to-many relationships or related items. So for any given tool, it's showing me not just the information about that tool, but its checkout history. This is one of those one-to-many relationships that's important to represent in the application. And the forms, these forms have the ability to go beyond what you saw with Excel and Fossil to show relational data as well. Good. So just to recap, we had Excel surveys. We had list forms. This is the Fossil work that Bob showed. Structured documents, we don't have a ton to say about that right now. We know it's an important area. We know some of the key requirements, but we don't know them all, and we don't know how we're addressing them quite yet. We'll have more to say at the end of the year. And then there's app forms, which you can go build with Access today. I should note that this slide is all about information workers. There's a bunch of developer technologies that aren't on this slide, like LightSwitch, like Visual Studio, like client-side rendering, where you would know HTML and JavaScript. The point of this slide is these are technologies you don't need to know how to code. You don't need to know HTML or JavaScript to take advantage of them. They're meant for everybody in an office setting to be able to take advantage of them. So, some frequently asked questions. We're going to get to questions in a minute. We'll be happy to address your questions. But a couple, that, just to tee it up. So I've got a ton of InfoPath. What do I do? First answer is, you don't have to do anything right now. It's going to be supported. We stand behind that product. We will stand behind that product till 2023. There's no need to move on to something else. This point of the blog post and the session is to prepare you for the future and to get your input so we can prepare a better future for you. Will we provide migration tools? Very common question. Honestly, we don't know. We don't know exactly what the target is we're headed towards. And until we know that, it's hard to know. Migration tools, when you've got two technologies that are as different as we think InfoPath and what the Fossil and Access technology might be, it may be difficult to provide that and do a decent job of it. And we've, from experience, known if we can't do a great job, we shouldn't do any job at all. It just does more harm than good. So it is something we'll have to monitor and something we'll need your input on in the right ways that we should be able to move things forward.
And just to touch on that, if we do have guidance that we feel is appropriate or recommended from our point of view and where we see Forms vNext landing, or at least the initial iterations, we will provide that documentation on dev.office.com and other ways that you can access it, and we'll make sure that it's readily available to everybody. So it's a matter of working through some of these initial releases, and then from there we can start getting that documentation in there as well.
Should I use Access or Fossil when they're both available? The basic determiner there will be, is it relational or not? If it can be represented as a single list, if it's that simple, even if the list has lookups to other things, Fossil is probably going to be a great option. It'll do the basics of what you need. It'll be directly in the SharePoint experience. It'll be the most lightweight and easiest approach to take. Access is really for applications. So if you have a situation in which you have a set of forms that interact with the other, you have relational data, you have the orders and order details, you have the tools and the checkout history, it goes beyond just collecting a simple list of information. You're going to be wanting to use Access instead. And as I mentioned before, CSR, LightSwitch, those are great technologies for building applications. They're great technologies for building forms. Those are still fully supported, and we love them in SharePoint. They're just not for information workers. They are meant for developers who write code, some of which you are. That's great. But we're trying to hit a lower bar with the overall offering. We're trying to enable all information workers, all Office users, to build their own forms and create their own business processes and take advantage of SharePoint.
Okay. Thank you. At this point, we want to cover four of our partners in this space who are here. They have booths in the expo hall, so you're welcome to visit them. Obviously, K2, Nintex, Formodus, and Qdabra. And so K2 is the first one. You can't really miss their booth. It's the biggest one here. but they also did want me to mention that there was a demo in the DevTrack keynote yesterday that didn't quite work out, primarily because the browser configuration wasn't correctly set up. And so if you have any questions on that, they're more than happy to help you work through any questions, so go see them. There's Nintex as well. They're in booth 1614. Then there is Formotus. They are in booth 639. And then Qdebra. So feel free to visit them. They also have solutions in this space. And they'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. And so at this point, we are exactly at a half an hour left in the session, so right on time. And at this point, we'd like to open up for some Q&A.
Before we do that, just one more thing. You notice the URL that's on the screen? This is one of the ways we want to collect your feedback. We plan to use this forum that's on the screen to collect that information. We also plan to do more blog posts about what we're doing, and that give you information about when releases are happening and when you should take a look and when you can give us good feedback. You want to switch me over? If I can find the right one. I will in a second. Just one second. Let me just show you what's there, and then I'll switch back. So this is where you go when you go to that URL. This is where you end up on. We have already posted some questions. And some people have started putting ideas. One of them is DIPs, document information panels. I have some questions here and some ideas about how DIPs might be moved forward. And this is one of the ways we can say, DIPs, tell us about DIPs. How are they used? How are they useful to customers? What should we do with them? And this is one of the things we need to get to gather your feedback on. And this is the way to do it, is to go to that site and enter your information. OK, with that, we'll go back to Q&A. If people can use their microphones.
We have T-shirts.
We have T-shirts. We have swag to give away.
There should be mics if we don't have.
Yeah. There's a mic in the middle back here in the aisle.
OK.
All right.
Fire away. I know you all have many questions. We'll do our best to answer.
Yeah, we have.
I have a question regarding your work with this contextual approach with FOSS and FOSSIL.
Yep.
Are we going to expect the ability to have that same experience with SharePoint Designer, custom workflows, and these items?
So we are, part of my slide was around the 6 month to 1 year period, and rules and business logic was in that bucket. I think that's where we'll take a look at how we what we do with workflows and how we move them forward and how they interact with these different forms. We do think it's an important element to pull in is that business logic and that workflow ability.
Yeah, feel free to come up and get a T-shirt after you ask
your
question.
So this is also kind of on the contextual aspect. One of the uses of InfoPath today in terms of workflows is the ability to actually complete a workflow task from inside of Outlook. Is one of these technologies going to take that place? And if so, which one?
We are talking to the Outlook team and the Office Developer Platform team about the right way to do that. We already have apps for Office that are in Outlook today, and so we're looking at ways to leverage that technology to provide that ability.
And I think
something designable by an information worker, or are we talking about moving it then to the dev platform?
Well, initially, we don't know yet, but initially, if we go apps for Office right now, it would be a developer scenario. We'd like to make that lower the bar for that as well. It may be that we provide some apps for Office that an information worker can configure to interact with. They don't have to write the whole thing, but then they would have some configurability on it, and that might be sufficient. We don't know. It's an interesting area that we are looking at.
Can you use the mic?
Hi. Asking about the offline story, because one of the powers in Access was that you could use it disconnected. And we've had presentations in our local code camps where they've used SQL CE to actually even buffer for bad internet connections. So how soon could that possibly be rolled in?
We are looking at Access offline ability to cache. The fact that you have networks that are not always reliable is on our radar. It's not in the 6 month time frame. It's probably a little further out. It's probably past the 1 year mark. But this is the kind of feedback we need: is how important is that? How many people does that impact? And whether we should prioritize that higher or lower than some other stuff we have on our list.
I was just putting it on your site to post that as an idea. So
excellent. Thank
please
you.
Do.
Hello, our company uses InfoPath almost on every of our business project. And one of the things that I use immediately is user profile service to look up the user who's logged in on the page. And that goes through SOAP service and InfoPath. Is that going to be something I can still do with the new
Yes,
form?
Yes, On my roadmap slide, it was in the 1 year time frame. We know that's a very high priority, to get to the profile information. We know InfoPath people do that a great deal. So that's something we'll do very early.
In the fossil, would you have the ability in your drop-down lists, your choices and so forth, to be able to link to other SharePoint lists and or back-end data that you're bringing through, like BDC or managed metadata?
Definitely. So the drop-downs will be populatable but from a lookup. So being able to show information from another SharePoint list and make that a choice in the drop-down will absolutely be there from day one. External sources, that's another area we're looking into. Probably towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, we'll have more to say about how we plan to do that and how we connect to enterprise systems as well as web REST APIs and other things like that.
Are all these new solutions going to behave for Mac and Linux users?
I'm sorry, I missed. Can you repeat that question?
For Mac and Linux browser users, are these solutions going to behave?
Yes, they will. So Office 365 and SharePoint is committed to a cross-browser story. And so the authoring and the stuff that's on the web today works fine on Mac and Android tablets and other places like that. And then we're going to extend the runtime even further to do a great job on Android, iOS, and other phones. That may be a mobile web experience initially, but I think we'll do that first, and then we'll build from there. But we are Office 365 and SharePoint in general is committed to a cross-platform approach.
Currently, for the lookup columns in InfoPath, we cannot add rules to it because it doesn't see it as the string. It sees it as number.
Yep.
And can you fix that on next whatever version you're having, please?
It's a great comment. I don't know. If you could put that onto the website as a suggestion, that would be really helpful to us.
Okay, sure.
That'd be great.
Another thing is that currently when we turn a SharePoint list SharePoint form into InfoPath, the modified by and create by information at the bottom goes missing. We have to recreate that again. So please add that one too.
Very good feedback. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you can put that stuff on the website, even better.
Yeah, and as Rob Lefferts mentioned yesterday in his DevTrack keynote, you should see that even though our Office Developer Platform user voice site has only been up since October, we've actually already had about 8 to 10 items from that list that we've been able to integrate into this continuous improvement and continuous release cycle, which I think is phenomenal, right? I mean, that's 5 months, basically. So if you put stuff there, we can actually not only keep up the conversation with you and give you status updates on where we are with it, but we'll actually be able to actively give you basically a checklist of things that we'll be putting into the next release. So please make sure that you add stuff to the site. Sorry, go ahead.
Thanks for the update on the forms. We work in very low bandwidth areas, and it's still a real business requirement for us to be able to complete forms offline. And I was wondering if that's on the roadmap for you guys still.
It is on the roadmap. It is a question only of priority. Do we do it this year, next year, the year after? And we hear that requirement from lots of people. We need to understand deeper what the numbers say about how important it is, and we need your input to help us do that. So it is definitely on the roadmap, though.
Thank you.
Are the Excel surveys, is that just in Office 365, or is that in 2013?
The Excel surveys is everywhere. It is in on-prem 2013. It is on Office 365. It is also on OneDrive. So if you go up to old SkyDrive or OneDrive and you build an Excel spreadsheet there, you can do a survey through our consumer offerings as well on Windows Live.
Okay, and then the things you said were coming this summer and later in the year, are those going to be delivered for the client or just on the Office 365?
That will be Office 365 specific.
Okay, and when would they be delivered on the client?
Everything we showed you for Fossil, there was no client. Everything was done on the website directly. Excel, everything there is done through Excel Online, which is their companion that's on the web.
But for on-premises, it'll be rolled into the next release of Office.
Right. No, we're still trying to figure out we announced the on-prem release next year. We're still working out what exactly will be in the on-prem release, if that's what you meant by client.
Hi, Mike. My question is related to your list that you just displayed, is that going to support cascading drop-down menus and connection to across sites connectivity for lookups?
So for cascading, we call that cascading combos, is a feature we actually added in as a continuous improvement item in Access this last year, about June or July of 2013. So it's already part of the forms package, and we plan to make that available with Fossil as well.
My next question is, how are you going to support InfoPath form libraries for replacement?
That's where the structured documents, we believe, comes in, where there needs to be a document replacement for what used to go into a document library. And that's what we're working with the Word team to address, and we'll have plans out by the end of the year.
And we're also very much aware that the InfoPath Form Services, or IPFS for short, is a very important scenario and very used very heavily, especially in the enterprise space. So we have that on our radar. And again, that just depends on our work with the Word team and working out that roadmap. So we are aware of it. We know we're working on it.
Thank you.
As the t-shirts say.
May have just answered this question. We're publishing InfoPath forms as content types to reuse multiple places and have more complex submit rules, like to different document sets.
Yep.
Is that something else that we'd be looking at for the structured documents?
I believe that would fall into that space.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the more interesting features of InfoPath is the code behind. What's the scenario looking forward on that?
Code behind has that word code in it. So it's not something we're focused on right now. The coding, we are deferring to Visual Studio, Lightswitch, and the more developer-oriented technologies. That doesn't mean this isn't extensible. We didn't talk about it, but Access, we're showing tomorrow, has the ability to take an app for Office and embed it on the forum. So if we're based on all the same technology, you can imagine that comes to Fossil in the near future as well. So there is ways for developers to extend the experience. I don't know if code behind per se is what we're going to do. I don't think it will be. Running code on our servers is problematic. We have plans in the works for enabling people to write their own code on their own server. We don't know exactly what's going to happen there. But in general, no, code behind I don't think we'll be supporting anytime real soon.
Right. But along those lines, again, circling back to Rob's DevTrack keynote yesterday, the theme is we're very much invested into Office 365 APIs as well as the app model. So if you take that trend, that's where we'll be investing as far as opening up extensibility on the platform and within the various endpoints. So likely somewhere along the line, we'll be opening up extensibility points within Fossil and vNext as well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry for asking you very such a small detail, but current InfoPath has a function to attach file in its form, which my user uses a lot. Does it work for this new Access space to customize InfoPath, but SharePoint forms?
We're working that through right now. We obviously, SharePoint lists can support attachments, and they can support document libraries have attachments. I don't know exactly where it's going to fall, but I would expect it to be one of the first things we do, is the ability to work with fields that have attachments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Of the popular InfoPath features today, can we expect that we'll have most of those features in the future, or are there any popular ones that people are using today that we're going to be losing? Sorry, it's such a downer question, but
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything we've said we're not doing. Code behind might be the closest thing we'd say to something we're not doing because it's coding, and we're very focused on information workers that don't code. But as Sonia said, there'll probably be extensibility mechanisms even there anyway that allow a coder to go further. It's just that's the one thing that pops to mind is something that we're not looking at immediately.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
So electronic forms are important within the Office products, obviously, but outside in the other parts of the Microsoft stack. To what extent are you guys looking more broadly to solve, you know, the electronic forms problem across the stack and not just being so Office-centric?
That's a good question. We are actively working with Visual Studio and our Office developer platform brothers to try to figure out what it means to be on Azure and to be broken out of the Office 365 mold. We don't know yet quite what that's going to look like, but we are looking at it actively.
And will this eventually be something available on-premise on the server?
We believe so. Our exact on-prem planning isn't solidified quite yet. We are definitely doing this technology first on the service, where we can actually iterate faster because we can get something out and gather information about how it was used and what people liked and didn't like about it, and then iterate from there. It's something that's much harder for us to do on-prem. You'll see on-prem offerings that where we are better baked with what we have, and we're more certain about its direction, and that'll probably become part of the on-prem offering. But it's still early days with respect to our on-prem release next year and exactly what will be in it.
Okay, so the last thing is comment. I think you're mischaracterizing light switch applications as requiring HTML or JavaScript or coding skills. That's not true.
Fair enough. I mean, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. So I think it's obviously a spectrum, right, where it's very fluid. It's not a digital zero or one. And so I think what ends up happening is, as we think about it, if you have to open up Visual Studio, which you do to use CBAs and Lightswitch, we think that Cloud Business Apps. So we kind of fall that into the pro dev space, because the feedback that I've heard and that we've heard is that information workers tend to not open up Visual Studio, right? So I agree with you where it tends to be a lighter dev experience. It still, for us, does not fall into the bucketed IW space, right? We still see that kind of in the pro dev space. But we can talk about it. Do you really need yet another development tool?
Is it possible to inject JavaScript into both your access forms and Fossil?
At present, no. At present, it's a closed system, and that enables us to take this forms implementation and do things like refactor it for a mobile experience where it's one-dimensional and touch-friendly and responsive and adaptive and all those great things we're trying to do. So we've deliberately closed it for the moment, leaving apps for Office as the main way you can extend the UI experience. And we'll be showing some great examples of that tomorrow afternoon, I believe, in Gary's session, where they'll show charts and maps and other things being added to a form. That kind of componentization we can support, and we do support, and we'll move that forward. But direct manipulation of the form becomes problematic when we try to move forward with enhancements and changes that wouldn't necessarily be compatible with what a developer might put in there. So the short answer is, short term, I don't think we're going to be opening that up anytime real soon.
For Fossil, it might be a good idea to provide something like what we have on SharePoint list, JS link, where you can overwrite. You just get the data and you can overwrite.
But understood. Yep.
Put that into user voice.
Hi, guys. What I wanted to know is, you know, InfoPath gives you the functionality of developing, let's say, a solution or making changes on already live forms, but making it in your design mode and be able to test it without taking it live. Will this be able to give you that?
In the first release, probably not. It'll probably be live edits because it's the simplest mode to interact with. And that's how you interact with Access applications today. You make live edits. That said, we've heard lots of people ask for that feature, that I want to be able to test something without impacting the world. And it is something we are actively looking at and figuring out our life cycle and our upgrade story. There's a talk this afternoon that Bob and Kevin are doing to talk about how Access apps can be modified and upgraded and moved forward that's along these lines. But in general, we don't have a good solution for this yet. It is on the roadmap, however.
Okay, because that's quite huge. I mean, if you got something that... But now, the second thing that I want to know is that if you have a different environment, then are you able to copy or migrate something to a different environment which will keep the forms as it is?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
Sort of a deployment. Will you be able to deploy the forms, the new forms, into a different environment so that you can develop somewhere else and then deploy it somewhere?
I see.
ALM. Having test environments and things, yes. There are abilities, even with Access today, where you can build something and then package it up as an app package in the apps for SharePoint world and move it from one server to another. We don't have our story straight for Fossil yet on that regard. Something we'll be working out in the months ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. You mentioned the fourth line, the app forms. Is that like the cloud for business app template in Visual Studio, or is that something separate? Because I'm just saying, because it looked familiar from a session that I saw yesterday.
The demo you're talking about that I briefly gave?
Yeah, just Yeah, the demo of the app forms.
The app forms, that, what we were trying to describe there was that there's applications you can build that have multiple forms in them. And I showed an example of an Access app that was a tool tracker that showed a basic list detail form that had one-to-many related items.
So that was an Access.
That was an Access
app,
application.
So built in Access.
You could build, I'm sure, that exact same thing in Visual Studio or
right.
with LightSwitch.
Right.
But I happen to use Access to build that application.
Got it. And that would mean no workflows available, just the limitations that kind
At
of
At present, there's there. No workflow in Access. Yes,
Got
that's
it.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so I think that kind of answers my question. So for promoted fields, what's the options going forward? So for use in workflow, accessing that information.
So demotion and promotion of fields out of a Word document, for example, still there. And out of XML in general is still there. That's not an InfoPath feature per se. It is baked into SharePoint. So we can still take advantage of that facility. And that concept of having a document and shredding out information and putting it into the document library, still completely relevant.
Okay, and you can do that in the Access apps then?
Well, the Access apps, everything there is stored in SQL, so there's
yeah.
no document per se.
Okay.
The Fossil is stored in a SharePoint list. So in that space, yes, it does make sense.
Okay.
And based on the feedback and the fact that folks, this keeps coming up, I think maybe one of the first bits of guidance we can put out is how do you do promoted fields without
yeah.
InfoPath per se. So that's on me. I will get that out within the next couple months to you guys.
Great.
Hey. So as a large government organization who's just getting off of technologies like Lotus Notes and just embarking on a SharePoint journey, what should we do? Should we use InfoPath now and with the understanding that we're going to have to go through a whole new learning curve and redo all this stuff if we want to go to 2015? What's the answer? That's why I'm here. I'm tasked with getting this one answer to take back to my organization. So, and I was hoping this would be it, but we don't know is not going to be good enough.
Not going to do it.
No.
Why don't you come up and let's talk? I'd really understand your requirements better and give you better guidance that's more personalized to your situation.
Okay.
All right. Go Vikes.
In InfoPath a lot, we manage how a form's viewed via statuses that are set within a workflow. Could you change views on a structured document based on a setting that you manage throughout a workflow, throughout the process of like an approval cycle on a form?
For a structured document, probably not. The structured document may or may not have the ability to hide and show sections and do that kind of work. I doubt it, but maybe. The regular forms, the fossil forms, the stuff that's based on more relational forms, that I absolutely will. That's one of our key scenarios is based on the status of where an item is, show this section or hide that section or make an appropriate UI based on the current state of the item. That's definitely on the roadmap and one of our key scenarios.
And when you bring services into that, then you'd be able to do it based off users being in particular groups or not as well?
Correct. Personal information is very important to us. So definitely we'll be able to take advantage of that too.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm actually in a very similar predicament from the guy that was two in front of me from the government organization. But I have a specific question. I'm also here trying to encourage the government entity which I represent on upgrading. One thing about InfoPath is that we don't have the ability in InfoPath development to build custom workflows inside of InfoPath. And I was just curious, in the forms on SharePoint list that you demonstrated and the apps forms, if that integrates directly with SharePoint Designer and the abilities to be able to build custom workflows and whatnot. I was wondering if you could just kind of briefly address that.
We're looking at workflows as part of our overall business logic plan, which we are actively trying to figure out right now and trying to understand how UI logic and data logic and workflows all interact together and how they can be authored in a really easy manner for all IWs. We'll be rolling that out throughout the year. We'll need your feedback as it goes along. How it relates to what SPD does, we find SPD is great. That's the solution today. It's more complicated than we'd like to hit. We'd like to make it simpler than that. That's why we're taking a fresh approach to it and taking a look at it. So it'll be more baked in. Right now, InfoPath and SPD are separate. It'll be more baked into the overall Fossil design experience and the overall authoring experience for when you're building a solution.
Thank you.
I want to start using the Excel surveys in SharePoint, and I'm curious, I'd like some confirmation of whether that's available on the Office 365 system today, and if so, what do you have to do to turn it on?
It's on Office 365, it is on by default.
So how do you get it to show up in that new document list?
If it's not showing up for you, come up afterward and we'll take a look. Okay. It may be that you have to go to an Excel workbook and there should be something in the ribbon that says survey. I've seen some cases like that. I'm not clear on exact the details there, but come up and we'll take a look at it.
And that'll be the second article that we release.
Hi. With SharePoint Designer 2.13 losing design view in the data view web part, does a roadmap include anything in the way of allowing us to loosely join, maybe with CAML or something, multiple lists in the list view?
So you used the magic word CAML, which means code to me. So that's a developer scenario from my mind. And so we're not looking at developer stuff directly. There is the client-side rendering and the ability to execute CAML from that. And I think would be the route to take. And I'm sure there are sessions here this week about client-side rendering.
We have multiple sessions on CSR. So if you look up CSR, we actually have several.
Great. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you.
Don't forget to show the swallow graph.
I will.
I actually have two questions, completely unrelated. The first one, that was my first time seeing the Excel survey. Does that replace SharePoint survey?
It does not replace SharePoint survey. That's there as well. This one was It was built separately for Excel specifically.
Okay, great. And my next question is going to kind of put you guys in the hot spot.
That's okay.
We are currently K2 customers.
Great.
And we are looking at Smart Forms, which is a pretty expensive product, but it's very powerful. My question is, we're currently using InfoPath with K2, and we're using a lot of like the data connections to show and hide views and show different fields depending on your permission levels, which we grab from either AD groups or whatever. So you mentioned being able to connect for user profiles. What about being able to connect to other data sources?
That's a little further out.
The
personal profiles and SharePoint lists, being able to do that will be the first things we go after. But arbitrary external data sources after that, enterprise data after that, will take a little bit longer to get to.
Yeah, so
We
go back to this, if you'll see under the later column, we have the web service calls, enterprise data, things like that. So right now, that's where it is from a timeline perspective in that later bucket. But if there's resounding feedback, I think we can take that into account and finagle.
We know this is vitally important. It's also a very hard problem. People are actively working on it right now. It's just that we don't believe we're going to be able to deliver something in the six-month time frame. People, information, we have a plan for how to get to that. That's where we can pull that in. But the arbitrary external data source, it's just a super hard problem that we're working through right now.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I just had a question on the SharePoint form. One of the other things we do today is we use the repeating tables for some values that we don't necessarily need in a relational database, but we do need it on the form to be able to see it.
Yep.
Is that something that we'd be able to do in a SharePoint list that might put it in, comma, delimit it, similar to what you do if you publish out it?
Yeah, multi-value fields and repeating sections like that is something we are looking at. We don't have a plan quite yet for how we're going to address it. But it is definitely on the radar in the near term.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
To the question that was asked earlier about the showing up the Excel surveys in the document library, what is some testing for this? It required the get a link feature and allowing external sharing on there. So I'm not sure if that's included in Service Pack 1 for 2013. Do you know if that's correct?
I do not know. I'm not that close to that technology.
Okay. We found through testing was that your My Site has it enabled, but if you want it on a team site, you actually had to enable it at the tenant and the site collection level.
I showed an example where it was anonymous access, where I sent you guys a link that went all the way into Office 365. I think that's the feature you're talking about. Before that, potentially before SP1, you could do it internally, so the people within your organization could interact with it, and that's been there since the beginning.
Yeah, if you had anonymous access on the site, correct?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
If you answered this, I missed it, so I'll apologize in advance. What's the driver for deprecating InfoPath? I mean, everybody seems to love it.
Well, I'll take a shot at that. We started the talk talking about how the world has changed, and it has. We were in a situation where mobile and touch-friendly and a bunch of other technology trends like that were occurring, and we looked at InfoPath and said, do we believe we should inject those new concepts into this path, or should we fold that into something more like the Access Forms technology? It came down to a degree, we have many different offerings, and the team is burdened with bringing them all forward at the same rate, the same time. And we didn't think we could do a credible job of all of it. And so we started having to say, well, can we coalesce? Can we get everybody focused on one technology and do a great job there, as opposed to having all these different, this proliferation of technologies? And so access became the where we're investing the most in. Jeff called out in his keynote yesterday. His call out was more about, look at access, because we're spending a lot of energy there. We're not access per se, but the technologies around it and the scenarios around fossil and FOSS, and using it as a bed for stuff we can apply in other places. That's where we chose to put our investment, and there were casualties along the way. InfoPath, we didn't feel we could move forward in a credible way with all the stuff we would have to do with it to move forward as a service, as a mobile-friendly application, as a product, and that's where the decision really came from.
How does that impact InfoPath as a standalone desktop app, say, in the next release of Office?
There won't be another release. So the 2013 InfoPath desktop client was the last release of InfoPath.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
In the browser, everything you said makes sense. Although we probably could argue giving it a nice HTML5 front end could have saved it. But for the desktop app, we're losing a lot by forcing everyone to move to Access.
But we're not, right? And so the point that we've been trying to drive home is we're not taking anything away. We're not, you know, coming into your company and uninstalling it. You know, it'll still work. It'll continue to work for as long as you have it on there, right? And it will also be completely fully supported for the next 10 years.
Right.
So it's not being taken away. It's not being turned off. It's not anything, right? It's just we're moving in a different direction. And we're evolving where our form strategy is going and where that's going to light up across all the other endpoints that we see users interacting. And so if you want to keep using it, keep using it, right? That's what we're saying loud and clear. We're supporting that very much. So it'll still work.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, guys. I want to be respectful to the next speaker who has the room. So we're more than happy to take the rest of your questions.
Hold on one second.
I'm sorry.
I was cut. Interrupt her. This is your data for the speed of a swallow. E plus the 107 seems unlikely, but you can see where people were going a little nuts. In the end,
how many did we get?
We got a lot of responses.
Thanks for the great talk.
Thank you.
Almost 600 responses.
Thank you.
And I promised the actual answer. This is a web page where they did the analysis on swallows. And at the bottom, they claim 24 miles an hour is the correct answer, based on analysis of flap, airfoil. Anyway, enjoy. Thank you, everybody, very much.